All right, let's go ahead and get started for the final session on OData, which is talking about the OData validator. Thank you for hanging in with me. I've now switched so that my screen is duplicated both places rather than trying to split screen, so that should make demos go a little more easy. We're going to talk about the OData validator, what it is, how it works. We'll have a demo of it, and then finally how you can contribute to it if you're so inclined. So what is the OData validator? The OData validator is an online tool that allows you to validate an OData service. So you don't need to install anything, you don't need to buy anything, you don't need, all you need is the URL to an OData service. And you can go to the validator, give it the URL, and it runs a variety of different tests on it. It's going to run validation rules based on the protocol spec. It supports multiple different versions, so it supports OData versions 1 through 3, as well as the new OData version 4. It supports both the old Atom and JSON formats, as well as the new JSON format. And it supports validating your service document, your dollar metadata endpoint, and your entity feeds and individual entities as well. It's not a comprehensive test, so it doesn't replace doing testing of the OData services that you write, but it's a nice way to do a validation. You've got three different ways that you can use the OData validator. The first is you can provide a URL to a live resource, so if it's somewhere that the OData validator can get to it through a URL, you can provide that URL. If it's behind a firewall or something, so you can't provide a URL to it, you can actually take your payloads and paste it into the validator, and the validator will validate your payloads. And then there's also a new ability to validate the conformance level that your particular service conforms to. The OData validator is an open source project. Here's where it is on CodePlex. If you want to download the code and build it yourself, if you want to modify the rules, if you want to add new rules, you have complete control for doing all of that. The rules themselves, as I said, come from either for versions 1 through 3, the MSO data spec, or for version 4 from the OASIS specification. So people have just gone through the specification, they've looked for all must, shoulds, and mays, and they've built rules around those must, shoulds, and mays. There are XML rules that do XML validation, and there are also code rules. So those are the two different types of code of rules that you will see if you actually go and look at the project on CodePlex. Here's the URL for getting to the validator. There's an instance of it hosted on services.odata.org/validation. So you can go there and you can use that tool there if you don't want to build it locally and run it locally. All right, so how does it work? How do you use the OData validator URL? Well, the first is you can use it just by giving it a URL, and you have the ability to validate either an Atom format, a JSON format, JSON minimal format, JSON full format. Actually, let's just, rather than look at it on the screen, let's hop into the demo. Let's actually go here. I thought I duplicated my screen. So here is on odata.org, and one nice thing about this is they used a big font, so it's easy for people to see. And so I can just put in a URL of an endpoint. So on odata.org, I'm going to go to one of my services. I'm going to start with the V3 service, and I'm going to copy that shortcut, and I'm going to put that in as a URL. And now I can validate, and it'll go through So I can specify, it defaults to version 4. I copied a V3 endpoint, so I need to select version 3. And then I can select what format I want it to come back in. And I want it to come in the JSON minimal format, actually. Let's do Atom Pub. I can select crawling or not. If I select crawling, then it's going to start off, it's going to recognize that this is a service document. It's going to see the different collections in that service document. So it's also going to ask for the dollar metadata endpoint. It's going to go to the collections, do some basic queries against those collections as well. So it's going to actually call that service and come back and load. So first of all, it's calling the service document. Now it's calling in the metadata document. Now it's calling a feed and an entry and validating an error payload. So it did that all against the URL that I gave it. If I look at the results, I can see the individual results. So the check marks are the things that it tested, that it validated for, and it gives a reference to the V4 specification and the description of that particular rule. So if you think that if you disagree with the validation result and you think that your service is behaving correctly, you can go find where the author of the rule read the spec and how they interpreted it. And actually, it turns out this is a pre-release. It's an ongoing release. The conformance portion is pre-release, and there are some things that I found the other day that I disagree with, and since I wrote the spec, I was able to convince them that they were wrong. So those will be replaced. By writing a spec, I mean I was the editor, literally, of the spec, so I knew what I had meant to say. So it'll go through and it'll give you check marks for things that it validated, X's for things that it thought were an error. Warnings for, or recommendations for things that were maze, and it was had a hard time to validate, did you do this or did you not do this? You could do this if it applied to your situation. So that's for the service document. For the metadata document, you can go through and see the results of running the validation test against the metadata document. For a particular source, for each of these, you can go through and see the metadata document that it retrieved, that it did the validation against. Similarly, you can see results for the query against the feed. And it'll tell you, this is the query that I executed, and this is what I saw the results of executing that query. Of an individual entry, so here it asked for a single category. It didn't know categories up front. When it looked at the service document, it went to the metadata, it saw that categories existed, so it asked for a category with an ID of one. So it got information there, and then it made a bogus request and tried to validate that for a bogus request, you're returning the correct errors. So again, it's not a comprehensive test, but if you pass all these tests, you're on your way to building a good service. So that was a 3.0. Let's go to a 4.0 endpoint. And in fact, we can do what the heck. I've not actually tried this, so let's try it. What could go wrong? I'm going to try read-write endpoint. So this is a 4.0. Actually, this test, I don't think, does anything different with a read-write versus a read-only. So it's going to go again, crawl through the service document, the metadata, the feed, and the entry. And it's going to tell me how my service did for each of those. So that's by URI. And that's nice for, again, when you have access to the service, when you can query against it. If you're behind a firewall or your service is not yet up and running, you just want to test some various different payloads, then you may not have a URL to use. So then you can use by direct input. And so, for instance, the service that we just implemented, So here's a service we just implemented. I can't put in the URL to this service because it's a local service, and the validator is running outside, so it can't call into my local service. I could run that service locally, and then I could test it locally, or I can come in here and get a payload, so data, and I can get that particular payload. I can paste it in here, and it's a V4 payload. If I didn't know, I could say don't know, and it'll try to guess from the information in the payload. It's in minimal, and so I can go and validate that. It'll do a better job of validating if I provide it the metadata that describes that, so I can actually come in here and go back to my service and do $ metadata. And I can get the XML for my service description. I can paste that in here, and I can validate that. So now this is validating my service document based on that $ metadata. I can also validate the metadata itself. So when I did the service document, it said it's a valid endpoint. It ended up executing 18 rules. In this case, if I do the metadata, there's 3 rules that it has for metadata, and I passed all 3 of those. I can go back to my app, and I can get customers, alpha key, question mark, $ expand equals orders. So that's going to give me back my one customer with the orders expanded in line out of the service that I wrote. And I can paste that in. And this is where having the $ metadata endpoint or $ metadata pasted in down below helps, because it uses that metadata to validate that the objects returned match the what the metadata said that they would look like. And I'll go through and complete that validation. And again, give me the results. And because this was actually validating a payload, it had a different set of tests that it ran. It ran 26 tests this time. All of them succeeded. There were 6 recommendations where, again, these are maze in the specification that I might want to think about. The odata.metadata e tag annotation may appear in a response in V4. It's not required to. It only makes sense if you're versioning your metadata, which I wasn't. So I look at that and I say, okay, I'm fine with that. URLs present in the payload may be represented as relative URLs. Actually, that would save me some space. Maybe I want to go make that change. But it's not required. I'm perfectly compliant. A navigation property may be annotated with the count. If I had asked for the count in the request, it would have been there. So I know that that just has to do with the request that I paste the payload that I pasted in. Entity may have one or more stream properties. Doesn't apply to me. When odata metadata equals minimal, media entities, those don't apply because I don't have media entities. So I can quickly go through and kind of understand that service that are built in web API, how it complies, and things that I might want to modify with it. I think it looks like this. I think you host it as a service. You could build a app that would run it as a regular app, but I think the default is that it runs as a service. Okay. So that's using the validator by the validator URI and by direct input. So those are two different ways that you can use it to validate payloads, different versions of payloads. The third thing that you can do is you can use it now to validate conformance. And this is not yet released, so it is in this super hidden URL namespace validation underscore staging. And it's a new tab that has gone through and built rules specifically around the conformance, and it'll go through and kind of dynamically look at your service and try to execute queries to test it and figure out what level of conformance it is. So we'll go to that, and again, I'm going to go to my OData Services V4. This is only supported in V4. Oops, that's not what I wanted. I'm going to copy shortcut, and then go into my OData Validator. So I've got a conformance level tab, and I can paste in the URL and then click validate. And it'll go through and it'll do a lot of different operations. And let's see what it comes back with. Okay. So it's gone ahead and it is tested minimal conformance level. It's got 34 tests. One was not able to execute. It wasn't able to determine whether or not next links were used because it only had one page in the response. So that just didn't apply. Each of these corresponds to a particular rule within the conformance section of the OASIS OData specification. The concern here is that that the returned results had a format parameter in the content type of the returned result. And it's only supposed to have that if it was specified in the request. That was actually kind of a late change we made in the specification because there were some interoperability issues with certain JavaScript clients. So it didn't pass that rule. There's something that we should go fix there. And then some of these rules, so the issue here is the test attempted to execute $search against the service. The service didn't support search, and it doesn't need to in minimal metadata, but minimal metadata says it should return a 512 not implemented, and instead it returned a 400 bad request. So I can live with that one. And then there are a few things here where it tried to do some read-write tests against my server. Oh, I forgot to select when I executed it that it was a read-only service. So it attempted some read-write operations, and those read-write operations, curiously enough, failed, as they should. I can look at my results then for the intermediate conformance level and for the advanced conformance level just to see, you know, where I stack up. And as I said, this is a very new part of the tool. I was playing with it just this week and found some bugs in some of the interpretations that I've already sent to the team. But you can take this. This is in the CodePlex code, so you can run this yourself. You can modify the rules. You can add new rules. You can do whatever you want with the tool. But it's a pretty handy tool just for kind of getting a sense of how the services are working. And there are a lot of people, a couple of people who are very engaged in OData in the enterprise are SAP and IBM, and both of them are very interested in contributing to this tool as well and making it a very rich. So this is a good example of leveraging the ecosystem in order to really increase the interoperability of clients and services using OData. So finally, this is the CodePlex where it is. You can pick that up, you can build it yourself, you can add new rules, and you can contribute back to the project. There's an agreement you have to sign to say that you won't sue anybody for IP infringement if they use your rules. But other than that, you're welcome to contribute back to the project. So that's really it I had on the OData validator. Are there any questions on the validator, on anything else that we talked about in the last 2 days? All right, if there's no other questions, we're done. Thank you.